When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Amal Epinobi, and today we have much to discuss. It's quite a news day, quite a crazy news day, and it has been for really the past few weeks. We've just been going through the ringer here and talking about all the different stories that we cover on this show. Today, we're going to be talking about a TikTok ban, which may or may not be right around the corner. And by right around the corner, I mean in like 9 months, come January of next year. So we'll see if this is something that actually happens, but we'll have an update on that story. Plus, college chaos is ensuing as protests are happening all over the United States at universities like NYU, Yale, and Columbia. In the name of Palestine, we're going to talk about whether or not these protests are peaceful or not, whether or not they should be disbanded, whether they are protected by free speech, and just all the different craziness that is happening on both sides of that issue when it comes to our universities. Plus, why are we seeing this amount of anger from young people that is sort of taking place and taking shape on university campuses? We'll discuss that. Also, Prime Energy Drink. Is this something that you guys are drinking on a daily basis? Have you had one? Have you specifically had the grape flavor? Because Prime and, you know, Logan Paul, this whole LLC is facing a lawsuit because of the possibility that your Prime drinks have forever chemicals in them. Not only that they have forever chemicals in them, but they have three times over your lifetime limit of forever chemicals. We're going to talk about whether or not this is actually true and how deeply Prime has been impacted by this story getting out there into the world. But before we get into all of that, we have Taylor in Nashville.
Well, I hope you had your matcha tea and not a Prime Energy drink to have the energy to get through all of these fire hose of stories from Clown World today. Yeah. But here we go. I personally had espresso. That's my go-to.
I've got Earl Grey today, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Let me know what you're sipping on down below. Is it tequila? It might as well be with some of these stories. Now, let's talk about this whole national security package that was signed into law by President Biden, aka the Biden administration, today that has a lot of things within it. Aid to foreign countries, as well as the signing of this TikTok ban, which could take place in 9 months. First, let's hear from good old Joseph Biden himself. Here we go.
I just signed into law the national security package that was passed by the House of Representatives this weekend and by the Senate yesterday. It's going to make America safer. It's going to make the world safer. And it continues America's leadership in the world, and everyone knows it.
Okay, so there we go. It's going to make America safer. It's going to make the world safer. I don't know how convinced I am by that rhetoric, how convinced I am of that selling point. And you know me, if we've been following and we've been going over this TikTok ban, I go back and forth. I don't like the idea of a CCP-controlled app on everybody's phones that can sort of track your business and sell your data and all that fun stuff. But what I also don't like is that there are many US tech companies and social media platforms that do the exact same thing to y'all every single day, and we're still there using them. So I'm not as concerned convinced by this argument of this being a massive national security threat, and that's the reason that they want to get rid of TikTok. I think they want to exercise control over TikTok, thus, you know, the question of whether or not a U.S. company should own the company, which is ByteDance, that is responsible for TikTok U.S. So that's what they're saying. You know, you have 9 months, essentially, to go ahead and sell off TikTok U.S. to a U.S. company so that we can control virtually what's happening on the app, and then we'll be okay. No TikTok ban is going to happen. If you can't get that done within the span of 9 months, TikTok is no longer going to be available to its U.S. market. So, you know, again, I hear them out on the national security concerns. I'm not a huge fan of the CCP. We all know that on this channel. I'm just not convinced that that's the reason they really want TikTok to be sold to a U.S. company. And there's many examples I could give you as to why this may be the case. We're going to talk about Israel and Palestine and how TikTok has really been a unique market as far as the American mind when it comes to getting different messages out, as far as independent journalism, as far as getting maybe some unhealthy or bad messaging out on the platform. And I feel as though our representatives want to take back a little bit of control of a platform that they don't, you know, own here in the United States. We know that when it comes to things like Meta, Twitter in the past, now X, Instagram, Facebook, which are, you know, linked in with Meta, the U.S. government has been able to exercise a certain amount of control over what you see on those platforms. Famously, Mark Zuckerberg went on to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast and said, you know what? The FBI reached out to me about the Hunter Biden laptop when that story was getting out and people were starting to hear whispers of what was actually going on with that young man, and they said, you know, can we maybe roll back that story a little bit on your platform so that people don't really get to share it, they don't really get to hear this information? And Mark Zuckerberg obliged. So we know that this is a certain amount of power that the U.S. government and its agencies are able to exercise on social media platforms that are owned and operated here in the United States of America, and they don't yet have that capability on TikTok. And TikTok is used wildly by young people, and widely by young people. We're talking, you know, those 18 to 25, 18 to 35 range, which really important when it comes to, you know, those good old elections and being able to get media out to them and share certain information and share messaging. So I'm more convinced that that's what they want their little grubby hands on than it is a tactic of sort of pushing out the CCP. But we shall see. They have 9 months now to go ahead and hand over the company to a U.S.-based business. So I don't know if that's actually going to happen. A lot of people are saying that some of your representatives are already, you know, buying up stock in Meta and things like that. And that seems a little sketch. And we all know what goes on as far as the insider trading amongst our beloved representatives and our beloved politicians. So I don't know. Maybe I'm skeptical for, you know, the skeptic's sake, and I am constantly looking at things from other angles, but there seems like there's many other angles to this little TikTok ban, and we're going to find out more as time goes on.
Yeah, I'm with you on just general skepticism of politicians, of institutional power in general in the U.S., and especially corporate America, Wall Street, all that. But I'm also very sympathetic to the idea that if you take the issue on its own, that an American company, American platform with nearly 200 million users in the U.S. is beholden to a foreign adversary like China, like the CCP, and is susceptible to having their platform, their algorithm being used to do whatever China wants them to do, or to do with data, whatever China wants them to do, just the existence of that loophole, which there is evidence to believe that that is the case, then I think that does need to be closed. And the other issue of, like, the fact that American companies can sell their data and things like that, I mean, I think that that is also true and also needs to be dealt with, and that loophole needs to be closed. But, like, they're to me kind of two separate issues. My biggest worry with this this legislation that's been passed as of today is kind of the second part of the provision that gives the president sort of unilateral ability to specify a national security threat in the form of a company, a foreign-owned company,
yep.
and kind of do the same thing to a company. That's the part that makes me most uncomfortable. I think there's some more provisions around that where you have to substantiate it to some degree. But that feels a little bit like yikes. Now, they did push the 9-month deadline pushes it after the election. So to be fair, that could be whichever president gets elected next. So it's not necessarily like a power move that Biden is hoarding for himself just because he wants to. I mean, this would apply to another president of another political party. But that is kind of the weirdest part of it for me. But as far as, you know, there's also like an element of politicizing to this. I mean, the legislation is a forced divestiture. It's not necessarily a ban. And TikTok has already said, I'm sure you've got the video ready, that they're going to protest this in court, that they're filing suit. And that is ostensibly going to prolong the process beyond that 9 months. I believe that there is an option as well for Biden to extend the deadline by 3 months. So it'd be a year, and I'm sure it'll end up being longer. But the way that it would work is that the companies like Google and Apple would no longer be allowed to let TikTok be downloaded through their platforms, and then companies would not be allowed to allow TikTok to offer updates and such and continue to support the app. So it would basically be forced to have like a slow death unless they were to agree to the sale, in which case it would continue on. And then who knows if they would want to keep the proprietary algorithm that they've used and the history about how they've used that to themselves. So I'm sure we're in for a much longer process, but I just kind of wanted to, those are some of my thoughts and kind of painting the picture of how this could look in the next year or so.
Yeah. And it's interesting because like, I don't know if people realize the impact that this truly has of how many people use it, how many people garner information from TikTok, me included. I mean, and I've had my qualms with TikTok. It's been a very difficult platform, especially at the outset in the beginning with banning and censorship and things like that. I can honestly say it's let up over the past few months, I would say, at least in my personal experience. There are millions of people that own and operate businesses that almost function solely through TikTok. And I wonder how that is going to work out for those individuals if in 9 months we see this platform taking on that sort of slow death. I wonder if there is, you know, not a re-election process on the part of this Biden administration, if somebody's going to sort of roll back what was set in place here and stop it in its tracks. I wonder if that's even going to be a possibility. As Taylor said, the TikTok CEO did respond to this. Let's watch his video about what he thinks with this TikTok ban.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. As you may have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. Make no mistake, this is a ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom. TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard, and that's why so many people have made TikTok part of their daily lives. Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident, and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again. Our community is filled with people who have found acceptance and compassion, offered inspiration and encouragement, increased their awareness, and broadened their perspectives, ultimately adding more delight and joy to their lives. Our community is also filled with 7 million business owners who have built their livelihoods on TikTok. While we make our case in court, you'll still be able to enjoy TikTok like you always have. In fact, if you have a story about how TikTok impacts your life, we'll love for you to share it to showcase exactly what we're fighting for. Meanwhile, we will continue to invest and innovate to keep our community vibrant, exciting, and safe. Through our US data security efforts, we have built safeguards that no other peer company has made. We have invested billions of dollars to secure your data and keep our platform free from outside manipulation. I can't say this enough. This extraordinary diverse community is what makes TikTok so special, what makes it matter, and what makes it meaningful. and will keep working to ensure you will always have the opportunity, the safety, and the freedom to enjoy all TikTok has to offer. Thank you.
So there you go. And it's going to be an interesting battle back and forth. TikTok has to prove and substantiate that it can secure American data. Not that that changes what's happened and what's been set in place here, but it'd be interesting if they can somehow substantiate them, substantiate that. The government has no leg to stand on. What's really interesting to me is that we're even doing this right now when we seemingly have so many other bigger fish to fry in this country. But no, let's spend time worrying about this TikTok app that people are on, which just, again, leads me to believe that there are other things at play and leads me to believe that there's a recognition that TikTok is sort of an uncontrolled market when it comes to ideas and ideas that are circulating amongst the American public. And that's really what they want to be in control of. And mind you, there are some very bad ideas that circulate on TikTok. The whole like transgender theory thing has been super big on TikTok. In the wake of October 7th, a lot of people were sharing Osama bin Laden's letter to America, and that was circulating on TikTok. I'm sure a lot of government officials are not happy with the fact that there is a large pro-Palestinian sentiment on TikTok, and these are all things that we should think about. Now, whether or not you agree with those messages being circulated on TikTok is one question. The real question is whether or not they should be allowed to share those messages on TikTok. There are several things within the examples that I just mentioned that I don't agree with, but are protected under free speech. People are allowed to espouse those opinions and share that information. So a government that doesn't want you to be able to do that, at least in my opinion, is one to look out for. And within this whole national security package thing is also $95 billion in aid being sent to foreign entities and foreign nations. Some of that being sent to Israel, I believe in the amount of $26 billion. A good amount of that is also being sent to Ukraine. So that's your money, $95 billion being sent elsewhere. I don't know why that's not receiving more press, and everybody's really focused on the TikTok thing. I guess because a lot of people really love TikTok and they feel deeply impacted by the idea that this app could be gone in 9 months. But $95 billion of your money being sent to other countries that do not impact you. I don't know what's going on in clown world. Well, I do know what's going on in clown world. I'm here communicating it to you. But why it's going on is a whole nother question. I'm way more upset about the fact that we have billions upon billions of dollars being sent in foreign aid to conflicts that the American public, at least, has made abundantly clear they want no part in. And here we are. So this is all just being packaged together because for some reason they're able to package all this stuff together in the name of national security and pass it through. While the average American is looking at them and going, what the hell are you doing? And what the hell are you doing with our money, the money that we pay to you? Y'all, I don't know what to tell y'all. This is not a good day.
And it is interesting too, just how, by how wide a margin a lot of these things passed. I went over, got some numbers about this $96 billion aid package, and $60 billion went to Ukraine, and that passed by a 311 to 112 bipartisan.
Crazy.
Bipartisan vote. And there were a majority of Republicans were against it, but a lot of them still voted for it. The aid to Israel was split, $14 billion to Israel, $9 billion kind of a stipend to Gaza for humanitarian relief. That passed 366 to 58 in Congress. Taiwan support passed 285 to 34. And the TikTok ban and Iran sanctions passed 360 to 58. So it seems like there's broad bipartisan support for these things, but it is interesting how kind of out of touch that seems with a lot of what you would see from the American public when you ask them about those issues.
Yep. So what's going on? I honestly don't know. I'm asking the question, what is going on and why is it that these things are getting passed through when we know that the average individual, at least it seems, in no way, shape or form supports this? And how is it that we've gotten this massive divide between the people who are meant to be represented and the representatives who are speaking and voting on their behalf? I'm going to leave that in your court to answer that. And guess what? I'm not going to give you a side to support in this because it seems like both of them have gone batshit crazy. So it just goes to show you, like, I feel like the curtain is slowly opening up and we're seeing the man behind the curtain, and it's both parties. So have fun with that. I don't know what that means. I don't know why it's happening. All I know is it's my money going towards things that I don't support the money going towards. And it's actions being taken on behalf of our government that do not support what people are asking for. Now, we're going to talk about what's happening on university campuses right now. I believe this all began at Columbia, where students started to not only protest, but build encampments in the sake of sharing a pro-Palestinian message, opposing the current funding of Israel, not only by the U.S. government, but also by investments on behalf of Columbia's university into things like weapons development and different firms that sort of tangentially support Israel. So the students gathered and they said, we're calling for a divestment out of these different firms and also a stopping of the programs that are aid toward weapons development that could impact what's happening in Gaza. And these protests seemingly started out peaceful. And like all protests ever, I feel like what happens is people congregate, they have a general agreement on what their message is. They maybe start out with a strong stance about divestment in this or defund that. And then all of a sudden you get crazies who also go and join these protests and start screaming out violent messaging or rhetoric that in no way stands with what the initial message of the protest was probably meant to be. And then chaos ensues. So you have pro-Palestinian students going out. You have, I guess, some pro-Hamas students going out. And I do agree. I will say there now, there's a distinction between those two different groups. Let's make that abundantly clear. Then you have Israeli students and Jewish students who gather in the wake of the pro-Palestinian or pro-Hamas people getting out there. Clashes start, violent rhetoric starts, it's mixed with whatever peaceful protests are going on, and then people have to decide what they do with these protests, and the administrators at these universities have to decide what they do with these protests. I am of the opinion that if a protest starts to become violent in nature, people are shouting threats, even if it is a small portion of the individuals who are active within the protest, at some point it's going to be hard for law enforcement and the administration at these universities to decipher who is who. And thus, hey, your protest got out of control and out of what the initial intent of it was, and we're going to have to get rid of this. It's not to say that you guys can't come back and peacefully protest and peacefully put out your message. That is protected. You are allowed to do that, not only as university students, but as American citizens. And I think that is something that is meant to be protected. But if you get a few little Looney Tunes who go inside your protests and start, you know, trying to fight people or shouting out threats, I don't know what you want somebody to do about that, you know? And this is not me giving a stance on the conflict. I've already done that in the past. You can go and watch my show where we talk about that extensively. It's just to say, you know, you can start out with peaceful intentions and then people come and mess it up and that doesn't work out anymore. I'm going to show you protest clips so you can see some of the stuff that's going on. We'll start with maybe some of the more peaceful things that are happening. Here's NYU faculty members forming a human chain around their protesters' encampment following threats of mass arrests on NYU's campus.
Ashhadu anna la
ilaha illallah. So there you go. That's what a lot of these things sort of are looking like. Here's some with students, and I think they're doing... Let me actually read what this is supposed to be. This is Strings for Decolonization at Columbia University, where this sort of all began. And this is some sort of, I guess, art slash performative activism thing about decolonization. You can check that out here. Just be so for real right now. Let me just mute this so you guys can keep watching it. BFFR. Be so fucking for real right now. What is going on? You know, I want to be charitable. I want to be charitable and say, you know, to a certain extent, I totally get it. If you're a university student who's going to NYU, Yale, Columbia University, you're paying a considerable amount of money to this university in order to acquire an education. And if that university is using that money that you are giving to it to fund causes that you in no way, shape, or form agree with, like that of what's happening in the Middle East, I can understand wanting to organize and assemble and protest that entity and saying, you know what, I don't want my money being used for something that I disagree with. However, I'm signed up for an education at Columbia University or NYU or Yale. Get it. But this is just like, what are we doing? What are we accomplishing? It feels performative. It feels like a lot of the students, maybe some, many of them know why they're there and know exactly what they're calling for, but it feels like a lot of them don't. It also feels like a lot of them are just going there to be incendiary and to promote a message that I don't even think they fully understand. And this is not to say that you should not be pro-Palestinian. Do not get me, misconstrued there. It's just to say I don't think a lot of them know why they're there. And here's a video that's going viral that emphasizes exactly that. This is a student from Columbia who I guess decided to jump from the Columbia protest to the NYU protest, and she doesn't know why she made that choice.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Okay. Do you know what NYU's doing?
About
Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia.
I have no idea why I'm here. Then turning to another person and saying, wait, why are we here again? And that person also has no idea why they are there. But you guys are screaming in front of law enforcement at one of the most known universities in the United States of America with no idea why you are there. So let's for a moment just separate the students who are educated and who know why they're there and who know what they're asking for on behalf of these universities and their administration and the deans and all this stuff. Let's separate those students. And you know what? Good round of applause. You're peacefully protesting for something that you believe in, and that is your right. Let's separate you. What are you doing if you are there threatening other students, making calls for harm, making incendiary statements, saying things that are anti-Semitic, or you have no reason to be there? You have no idea why you are even there, which happens a lot. And I get so passionate about this topic and about people like this because I was a person like this. I want to make this very clear. When I was like 15, 16, 17, 17, this is who I would have been. This is where I would have been. And had I been pressed on why I was there, I would not have been able to give an actual answer. And it is imperative when you go places, especially as a form of protest, that you know why you're there and you know what you're calling for. Because this is ridiculous. And you have to ask yourself why. What would possess somebody to be in a position like this with no reasoning as to why they are there? And it is ideological capture, it is hive mind mentality, and it is probably underlying anger that they have for reasons that they do not know, and somebody provokes them and gives them a reason to be out and to scream at law enforcement and to be a member of a group and a community, and they long for that so much. They long for an outlet for their anger and their despair, and they long for a community. And somebody is packaging that up for them in the name of a protest at NYU or Columbia or Yale, and they go, yeah, that feels good. It feels good to yell at law enforcement. It feels good to gather and be told that you're a hero, that you're doing something on behalf of another people, even if those people are very, very far away and you have no idea what you're advocating for. All these things feel amazing, but when you are pressed and ask questions about why you're doing what you're doing, in any case, don't we all want to know why we're doing the things that we're doing? Don't you want there to be a justifiable reason behind everything that you do on any given day? And if you don't have that reason, what are you doing? Why are you committing these actions? These are great questions to ask yourself, and you should ask yourself them before you go to the protest. Not after you're there. Not after a journalist puts a camera in your face and asks you, why are you there? Ask yourself that before you step out your door to go and join these other students. And maybe this is not indicative of the majority of the students that are out there at the protests, but it's clearly indicative of some. If they asked one girl and she goes to another random girl and the other random girl has no idea why she's there either, what do we have going on? Ideological capture and hive mind. It's ridiculous.
And it speaks to the ideological capture more broadly of our educational institutions in the U.S. And we've seen this, that the gradual shift since around the 1960s and the Frankfurt School and critical theory infiltrating all of the humanities and now just all of academia, it's seeping into our other institutions in Hollywood and places like CDC, the American Medical Association, et cetera, that are captured ideologically to support leftist causes and have this oppressor-oppressed framework that has just taken over everywhere. And it creates this very simplistic worldview where it's easy to be swept up in it. It's easy to conform to right-think when you have people putting on protests. You know, okay, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to chant this. But there's no critical thinking. And we've seen the shift of academia being a place that develops, fosters, encourages, and builds critical thinking among its students to something that robs you of that and makes you somebody who's just a sheep and is not equipped to articulate what you actually believe about things, to look at things analytically, to use the Socratic method in debate, and to just have a better, more well-rounded view of things. And to your point, it'd be great if these protests were places where people came and were articulating their grievances with what's going on in the world or what's going on with their academic institution, and stating in no uncertain terms what it is that they are against and what it is that they are for, and making an evidentiary case for either one in good faith. But that's not necessarily what we're seeing. And it's reminiscent of this is like a broader cultural phenomenon, right? And it's reminiscent of, it's only been a few years since the BLM protests, and you had a similar sort of mechanism playing out across the country. And it's like, if the violent looting doesn't represent you, then let's state that and condemn that and have the moral clarity to say so, and then talk about the issues that you're trying to advocate for on the merits and draw the attention to those and push away the violence and the revolutionary people and the ignorant people, and let's put at the center the substance of your case. But instead, you just get this amalgamation of the violent revolutionaries, ignorant people being swept up in it, and this very like broad, nice sounding cause that is really lost in the midst of this wider movement that is just like this hive mind stuff.
100%. And then it's like, okay, Oh, it's such a mess. You have the people who are there peacefully, who know why they're there. And all the other people who fall outside of that category, you should be upset with because they're ruining what could be a message that you're trying to share with the public. You should be the most pissed at the uneducated, at the angry, at the violent. And they exist on both sides, right? And I think the stories are getting spun on both sides. You have people who are pro-Palestinian being called pro-Hamas when they are not pro-Hamas and they in fact condemn it. You have people being accused of anti-Semitism when the things that they are not that they are saying are not anti-Semitic. On the flip side, you have protesters who are part of this pro-Palestinian camp who are saying that they're pro-Hamas but are not, you know, not representative of the entire group. You have ones that are saying anti-Semitic things that are not representative of the entire group, and it's just a mess. And this is why when you try to like build these large movements where we speak on behalf of all these people, it never works because there's always going to be somebody there sharing the wrong message or threatening people or trying to be incendiary who doesn't speak on behalf of your entire group. And it just descends into chaos. Like these people who congregated outside of university. So I don't even know that these are students. They congregated outside of university to, I guess, promote Hamas and cheer on the death of Israeli soldiers. Let's see this clip, and shout out to the Young Turks for sharing this. Like, who is out there screaming, "Yeah, Hamas, we love you"? That's crazy. That's crazy. You're crazy. And then on the flip side, you see like clips like this. This clip was deleted off Twitter, but the video went super viral of this Jewish woman, and this her husband posted this and said, like, "My wife is such a brave Jew. She stood alone at Yale University today and she wore no mask and was so proud." And it was like supposed to be this so like this strong, like in the middle of battle, walking into the middle of the battlefield type video. And it's just a bunch of peaceful protesters just like chilling on the sidewalk around Yale University, and she walks out into the middle of them and stands there as if it's like some brave act, as if she's going to be attacked at any moment, and that in no way, shape, or form happens. And she just stands there for like a minute or two. And the video went viral because people were like, "What do you mean? You're standing in the middle of a peaceful protest. Nobody's doing anything." And then the video got deleted, so I cannot even show it to you. But there's just so much, like, I think people really do like want to be a part of something, want to be like the hero of whatever situation's going on, and they'll twist the narrative to shape whatever it is their worldview is and then put it out to the world, and it happens on that side and it happens on this side. In the middle of it, it's just like, okay, we clearly must all have this energy that we want something like this to be a part of and something to fight, but is this the thing? And is this how we do it? And like, is this actually fulfilling? And if it is this actually achieving anything? We have to ask ourselves, because it just feels like these blips of chaos that pop up and achieve nothing, and nothing happens, and then we go back to normal, and then the next movement pops up, and then the university students come out again, and then they're burning the American flag and they're screaming and chanting this, and then they're getting arrested there, and then that dies down, and then the next movement happens, and then blah, 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 blah. And we see this happen on university campuses throughout decades of American history. University campuses are like the hotbed for protests and demonstrations because it's full of young people who have this like angsty energy, and they're getting into an era in their lives where they're becoming awakened in higher education and learning different things about the government and, you know, world politics. And it makes you want to be a part of something, and it makes you want to make a statement. So if we can see throughout American history just like the hotbeds of that university campuses are, and this happening over and over and over and over, we just know that this is like an endless cycle that's going to continue. And this is not to invalidate the nature of the movement or the things that you're calling for. I'm sure there are some valid requests within the things that you're protesting. It's just to say that like this, we can measure this on like the human psyche. It's just like a part of the human psyche that these things continue to occur, and stupid people come in and threaten and create harm because they love to be riled up. And I think we have more of that energy sort of sitting dormant in people than ever before. This sort of anger festering in people who are just out there in society, and as soon as they're provoked in any way, shape, or form, or given an excuse to unleash that energy and unleash that anger on people, they will do so within a moment's notice. And I think people feel that now more than ever, and it's in sort of encouraged now more than ever. Yeah.
Agree, and we did get a couple of $50 super chats, but I'll just say, to your point, serious issues demand like serious action. Sure. And a lot of what we're seeing on these university campuses is very unserious action. And I think the reason why something like the civil rights movement was so successful is because they were able to stay committed to nonviolence. They were able to keep their messaging very clear and have a very clear vision of what constituted what they're advocating for in front of them. And it wasn't this chaotic thing that was merely performative. There was actually more substance to it. And I think these protesters could take a lesson from that. But yeah. Britt Cormier says they know why they are there. They are using this as an excuse to skip class, waste their parents' money so they can be clean of guilt or clout for their social media, aka look what I did and how good I am, LOL.
I think that can be a subconscious driver for many people. For some, maybe a conscious driver, but I don't know that you would get that admission from the average student who's there. And I think about myself when I would have been more like privy to this sort of behavior and like going out to BLM protests and taking to the streets as I did on many an occasion when I was younger. You would not have gotten that admission because maybe that would have been more of a subconscious desire in retrospect. But consciously, they're thinking, I'm doing the right thing. You know, this institution is not only failing us, but it's failing the people abroad that we're advocating for. And, you know, I am the hero who's going to do something about it. And we're seeing people just sort of like stoke that sentiment in them. And again, for many, it could be valid. Like it could be a valid thing that you're asking for. But when it gets this convoluted and, you know, obscured and things by people with ill intent, the message no longer comes through.
And Nick Boateng also sent a $50 super chat. Thank you, Nick. Says, first time super chat. Guy who self-immolated at Israeli embassy was Air Force intelligence officer. Could work at any three-letter agency and make a real difference on the inside. Liberal media convincing people radical extremism is the only way. All right, love you both. Keep rocking in the free world.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. It's interesting to see these acts just get crazier and crazier and crazier. And it is the media's fault in a lot of ways. And it's like a shared, I don't even know that I want to say it's just liberal media. I think it's just media in general and the nature of American media in particular, that we need such like huge things to feel stimulated by stories now. And people are realizing that and resorting to things like self-immolation when it's like, okay, you could share your message and just like try to do something in your time on this earth and like in you know, in your body and not killing yourself. And I just don't know that either of those individuals who decided to self-immolate achieved much in doing that. I mean, they got people to, you know, read up on their social media posts, and the second one, the latter, Max had a manifesto. I did go through and read that just to see what it was about, but I don't know that it had any particular impact on society. So it seems like such a wasted measure, but again, indicative of just like what type of stuff the media is pumping into people's minds and how much you have to do in order to get your messaging across. Nuts. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay, we're going to play this clip from MSNBC, which I feel like this guy does a really good job at capturing sort of the sentiment that I've been sharing throughout today's episode of this dormant anger in people and young people in particular. I'll let him tell you.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants, so the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own a housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from 290 to 420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own, skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
So there you go. When you think about it, like from the bird's eye perspective of kind of what he just put forward, you can imagine the amount of just aggression that people are harboring within themselves and tamping down or whatever. And then you get a movement that pops up that suddenly you can release all of that aggression out onto the world. And it's coming in so many different forms. The trans movement and people protesting on behalf of trans people and protecting trans kids and all this stuff. The BLM movement, where we saw just a ton of people take to the streets and riot and loot and burn things down, and over 20 plus people dying. What you're seeing now with what's happening in the Middle East, but for some reason people here in the United States are exceptionally, you know, getting angry. And part of that is our money going over to these things, as he points out the wealth gap and how things are changing for young people. So I think it's a subtle recognition of all these different things that create kind of like a sense of not impending doom, but at the very least apathy within people, where they feel like there's nothing they can do. They're not motivated to do anything. But as soon as you get a movement that says, like, here's something for you to be motivated by, here's a place for you to place that anger or to place that identity crisis that you're struggling with internally, people flock to it in droves and as quickly as they can and as angrily as they can. And I feel like that is what's happening in any movement. Just like leave the space blank and plug in whatever movement you want to talk about. It's our society is like failing people, and then those failed, disaffected, disenfranchised people are finding movements to place their energy into.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a repeating cycle, because you see, like, progressives in particular, or the left, is very good at saying, aren't you agitated by all of this? Isn't it horrible that we have income inequality? Isn't it horrible that you're not able to afford a home, etc.? And then they funnel that into, we support our vague cause that is aimed at fixing that problem. But it's like, okay, you're worried about wealth inequality in California. Let's raise the minimum wage to over $20 an hour if you work at In-N-Out, and let's increase taxes on the wealthy and transfer that money in the form of entitlements. And those types of policies can end up perpetuating and even worsening the economic situation of the middle class. Mm-hmm. And even though they were designed or offered as a way to improve that and grow the middle class, they end up having the opposite effect, and they kill the incentives for what actually can maybe help turn the ship a little bit, which would be young people becoming more industrious, more taking on risks with creating new businesses, becoming qualified with real skills that they can apply in real life situations that aren't going to be outsourced to AI or competed. That's not the entire solution, but that's part of it. And right. My fear is that as this rhetoric heightens, that and people are pissed, that they will turn to bad ideas, whether from the left or from the right. You could argue that from the right, you could have populist figures come out and say, well, we'll fix all your problems by imposing these new rules or going back to this ethic and imposing that by law on people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can quickly see it descending either way. But we do need to go back to what helped build this country, but not at the expense of our better angels, and not returning to like this more revolutionary mindset that I think is being fostered here. So we're just in a vulnerable time, it feels like, right now. And I'm as much as he is doing a good job at painting a picture of what the problem is, I think what we're lacking is people who are offering real solutions that aren't going to just create even more worse outcomes.
100%. Yeah, we don't have like a great avenue towards solutions, especially on like two points that he sort of quickly went over of just like sex and community and friendship and significant others. I truly feel like when you are fulfilled in those realms of your life, you really don't worry about a lot of these other things that people are, you know, out and taking to the streets with. And when you have this lack of community, these things just pop up. And then again, somebody gives you an offer for a different kind of community that may be laced with bad ideas, and you fall for the bad ideas for the sake of having the community attached to them. So it's really interesting to just watch what's happening. I wonder, I'm sure these college campus protests are going to be dealt with and probably very soon. I saw that there was some sort of ultimatum that they placed on the students, which I think is going to have a few more days on the timeline that they need to disband their protests or else. We have seen some mass arrests take place on these university campuses with, I believe, hundreds of students at this point now being arrested. I think 120 at Columbia, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. And one of them was Ilhan Omar's daughter. So there's just a lot of interesting things happening right now in the world. Okay, so let's talk about Logan Paul and this Prime Hydration lawsuit that is currently taking place. And it's really becoming a battle on social media where this story is getting out to millions of people. And I do believe it is impacting Prime's bottom line. We're going to read about it here. It says YouTubers Logan Paul and KSI founded Prime Hydration in 2022. And while their products have become increasingly popular and profitable, the company continues to face class action lawsuits over the ingredients in their energy and sports drinks. Prime Hydration LLC was sued in April 8th in the Southern District of New York over misleading and deceptive practices. And this was in regard to the amount of caffeine that was in Prime and somebody coming after them for that. And that's called the Vera suit, where they're seeking $5 million from the company that is owned by Paul and KSI. But we have another lawsuit that is creating even more tension for the company that is involving these things called PFAS and otherwise known as forever chemicals. So they're dealing with this class action lawsuit, and it's from 2023, and it's alleging that the sports drink not only contains these forever chemicals, but that the sports drink contains three times the amount of forever chemicals that you are supposed to have within your lifetime. Let's put that out there. And specifically the Prime Hydration grape flavor. So that's what the lawsuit alleges. Now, I want to make it clear. You can allege stuff in a lawsuit that is in no way, shape, or form true. And then you have to go through the process of this lawsuit and litigation and all these different things to find out whether or not this is true. Now, they're specifically referencing not necessarily the drink itself, but the bottle that Prime Hydration, the grape flavor is encased in, and saying that it has these PFAS, forever chemicals that sort of poison the human body. And essentially why they're called forever chemicals is these are chemicals that bioaccumulate in your body, and they don't go anywhere. That's why they're there forever. And there's a certain amount of these chemicals that I guess the body takes in, and all different types of products, including like fish and things like that, can contain forever chemicals. But there is a legal limit as to how much forever chemicals you are allowed to have in products that you put out. Now, again, this lawsuit has not come to its natural conclusion yet. We don't know whether or not this is true, but a guy named Tommy the Lawyer on TikTok decided to make a video about Prime Hydration and this 2023 lawsuit that they are facing. This video got over 16 million views on TikTok. So, you know, this lawsuit hasn't, you know, gone through its process yet, but this got 16 million views. So of course, all these people are sharing that this lawsuit is happening. They're sharing the forever chemical information, and I'm imagining the sales of Prime Hydration drinks are dropping and dropping expeditiously. Let's hear from Tommy the Lawyer in his TikTok and see what he has to say.
Not only is there a lawsuit against Logan Paul's company Prime for there being PFOs, which are forever chemicals, in the Prime hydration drink. But according to the testing done by one of the lawyers for the plaintiff, guess how much PFOs were in the product, in the drink? 3 times the amount that you should have in your lifetime in PFOs from drinking water. In one Prime hydration drink, they found 3 times the amount of PFOs that you should consume in drinking water in your life.
Okay, so there we go. That got 16 million views. I'm not a scientist. I don't know about all this stuff. I'm just giving you what I've, gathered in looking into this story. But it's crazy how quickly social media works and how one video that is 34 seconds long can directly hit and impact a company very, very hard. A lot of people were circulating this video, making their own videos, saying, I'm no longer drinking Prime. I'm going to file my own lawsuit against Prime because I've been drinking this and my family's been drinking this. You had influencers saying, I'm on Prime's PR list and they send me bottles of Prime. And this is Prime that I'm drinking, that I'm gifting to my family. And it has these forever chemicals and 3 times the lifetime amount. I want to bring my own lawsuit against Prime. Now, I don't know that anybody's actually followed through on that. This is just internet speak and people being upset by this newfound supposed discovery of the over intoxication of these Prime drinks. Now, Logan Paul decided to respond, I imagine, because he really had to with how quickly this video was circulating and how it was impacting Prime. Here's what he had to say.
Not only is there a lawsuit against Logan Paul's company Prime for there being PFOs, which are forever chemicals, in the Prime hydration drink.
All right, let's talk about this. First off, anyone can sue anyone at any time. That does not make the lawsuit true, and in this case, it is not. There's claims that PFOS or forever chemicals come from plastic. So in this case, they're not talking about the actual drink, the liquid Prime. They're talking about the bottle that Prime is manufactured in. This ain't a rinky-dink operation. We use the top bottle manufacturers in the United States. All of your favorite beverage brands, Coke, Pepsi, Tropicana, Dr. Pepper, they use these companies. If the product is served in plastic, they make a bottle for them. Accordingly, we follow Title 21 for the Code of Regulations for PET and all other types of bottles. The products are manufactured by our company in a manner compliant with all pertinent and current good manufacturing practices by the United States Food and Drug Administration. All of our suppliers use GMP facilities. But let's say they're talking about the drink itself. Here's where their argument really falls apart. Pay attention.
But according to the testing done by one of the lawyers for the plaintiff...
Whoa! Hold it! You saw Goodman or Walter White, brother, because this little study that was conducted by a lawyer is absolute bullshit. They're claiming that Prime has 0.06 ppt, parts per trillion. But that's interesting because the EPA says that anything under 1.1 ppt cannot be deemed as reasonably accurate, meaning they don't have the right tools or resources to even prove what they're claiming. Are you following this? It means the detection limit is 66 times more than what they're claiming we have in our drink. And that's just the detection limit. Your own state will not even take action unless it's over 40 parts per trillion. So we don't even think this information is factual. But for the sake of this conversation, let's continue.
In one Prime hydration drink, they found 3 times the amount of PFOs that you should consume in drinking water in your life.
We have a very big multi-million-dollar filter that filters the water from the state. Water you drink at home, water provided by the state before we make it into Prime. If this claim about PFOs and PFAs is true, what is that saying about your state water? Then, according to their website, the Environmental Protection Agency's recommendation is using 1 of 3 tactics to remove as many PFOS and PFAS as possible. Activated carbon, ion exchange treatment, and reverse osmosis. Well, we do 2 out of the 3 of those to clean the state's water before it even becomes Prime. We don't think these numbers are factual, and we're not the only one who caught this.
The level that was reportedly found was below the limit of detection, and if that even was the level, it is still 66 times lower than the recently established federal maximum contaminant level of 4 parts per trillion for PFOS.
For customer safety, we retain samples of every single batch of Prime that has ever come off the production line. So if slash when this plaintiff wants to come forward with a production number, we will retain samples from that batch and conduct our own independent study. We're putting out better for you products. Meanwhile, our competitors are on the cusp of getting banned in the United States. The number one sports drink in the world just had SKUs banned in California for using dyes linked to cancer. That is a fact. It already happened. The difference with us is one person conducted a random study and has provided 0 evidence to substantiate any of their claims. Do y'all remember a while back when they said that the FDA was investigating Prime? It never happened. They never called us because we follow every single guideline and regulation. So Tommy, the TikTok lawyer, 4 videos in, man, farm those views, get those likes, and get a haircut while you're at it. We'll accept an apology within the next 48 hours, otherwise you're going to be representing yourself in a miserable courtroom for lying about our brand.
Okay, so there you go. That is Logan Paul's response to the lawyer. What's really interesting about this for me is not whether or not Prime has these forever chemicals. We're going to figure that out throughout this lawsuit, and I am not a scientist. What's really interesting is that millions of people watch both of these videos, and when they watch the first lawyer calling out the forever chemicals that he claims are in a Prime, or the lawsuit claims are in Prime, they're like, yeah, you ate him up. Like, I'm never going to drink Prime again. I want to file my own lawsuit against Prime. I can't believe there's forever chemicals. They're taking this man just at his word that there are forever chemicals, to the tune of 16 million people watching this video. Then Logan Paul makes this response video about forever chemicals where he shows a bunch of little scientific graphs that the average human being does not understand and has no idea what they mean and has never heard of forever chemicals up until this moment. And all the comments read, oh, you just ate him up. Bro said, nah. Oh, he's prepared. Damn, he came at bro with receipts. Okay, the lawyer has receipts too in the form of a lawsuit that has been filed on behalf of, you know, an individual who presumably went to a lawyer who vetted this and said this is possible to go through with a lawsuit. How is the internet so gullible that they just take every single person who says anything confidently at their word? The reality is, you don't know what's in Prime. The reality is, they're going to find out through the investigation and through this pending lawsuit, and then we'll get to the other end of it. But the amount of people who are like, I'm never drinking Prime again. I can't believe it's contaminating my body with forever chemicals. And then Logan Paul makes a 3-minute video and they're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go buy Prime now. I'm gonna go back to 7-Eleven and go and buy Prime. You have no idea what's going on. And you know, he insinuates that you can like sue anybody at any given time. I get that that is somewhat true, especially in the United States, but somebody has to find like the valid nature of your suits compatible with whatever it is that their law firm is working on in order to take on that suit. So there must be something that they looked at. And he goes through this whole like, oh, we do this whole water filtration system, the reverse osmosis. Let me throw all these terms at you that tell you that we're doing the right thing with this drink. If the lawsuit is truly about the bottle that the drink is in, does it really matter what you do to the water? If you're doing this whole reverse osmosis filtration system, if it goes in the bottle that contains the forever chemicals, I don't know. Again, I'm not a scientist. These are all things that they're going to find out with the lawsuit. And maybe Prime is totally fine to drink and it has the amount of forever chemicals that is normal for products like this, or it has no forever chemicals at all. The reality is, we don't know. And the fact that people are so easily swayed, if you just say something confidently on the internet, should be concerning to all. Now, the lawyer responded to Logan Paul just to close the loop on this story and give you the information that exists on both sides of this lawsuit. Let's hear from him.
Logan, man, you want to talk about the facts? I got the lawsuit right here. Let's talk about what it says. But before we do that, I want to respond to something specifically you said in your video, which is, quote, the EPA says that anything under 1.1 parts per trillion, PPT, cannot be deemed as reasonably accurate. Well, this, sir, is the EPA's lifetime drinking water health advisories for 4 perfluoroalkyl substances. Lifetime drinking water health advisories, Logan. Lifetime. If you need a citation for that, my friend, that's in the Federal Register, Volume 87, Number 118, published June 21st, 2022, page 36,848. This is what the EPA says on that page. Quote, EPA's health advisories, which identify the concentration of chemicals in drinking water at or below which adverse health effects are not anticipated to occur. In other words, the EPA doesn't anticipate adverse health effects to occur if the level of PFOA or PFOS is below these levels. Ready? Let's see what they are, Logan. 0.004 parts per trillion for PFOA and 0.02 parts per trillion for PFOS. So do you dispute that's what the EPA says about the lifetime advisory for PFOA and PFOS? Well, let's talk about the lawsuit allegations. Paragraph 54, plaintiff sought independent third-party testing to determine whether the product contained PFAS chemicals. Paragraph 55, plaintiff's independent testing was conducted in accordance with accepted industry standards for detecting the presence of PFAS. Let's read on. paragraph 56 here talks about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 types of PFAs found in the product under this testing according to the complaint. Paragraph 57 states, thus defendant's product exposes hundreds of thousands of unsuspecting consumers to toxic synthetic chemicals in direct contradiction to their uniform label claims. Paragraph 58, I think we just read this from the EPA itself. In fact, the EPA recently tightened its lifetime health advisory levels for PFOA and PFOS exposure in drinking water. For PFOS, the recommendation is 0.02 parts per trillion. Paragraph 59, per the complaint, the amount of PFOS found within the product from plaintiff's testing is approximately 3 times the recommended lifetime health advisory for drinking water. What's up with that?
So there you go. They're both coming in with different figures in their different edited TikTok videos to show people so that you make a decision as to whether or not you drink Prime. And the reality is, we don't know. The reality is the person who filed this lawsuit went to a third party, you know, a place to get this drink tested. Who knows the accuracy of that third party place where they went to go get this grape flavored Prime drink tested. We don't No. Now, in the meantime, I'm not going to advise you on whether or not you drink Prime. That is totally up to you as a consumer. Tons of people are drinking this Prime. I remember when it first came out, people were buying a bottle of Prime for like £1,000 in the UK because it just wasn't being sold over there. And people are apparently nuts for these drinks. I personally have never had a Prime drink, and I'm going to continue to not drink Prime drinks, not because I feel any certain way about this lawsuit or anything. I'm just going to continue with my lifestyle as it's been. Would I, maybe if I was like a regular Prime drinker, wait for this lawsuit to sort of go through and be investigated a little bit? Maybe. Because, you know, if a law firm picked it up and was like, hey, there seems to be something valid here, even though we have like two different figures that we're throwing out on either side of this, I might wait and not drink it. I'm not going to throw out a bold statement like Prime has, you know, 3 times the amount of forever chemicals you're supposed to have in your lifetime, because the reality is I have no effing idea whether or not that is actually the case. But it's amazing how, like, confidence and editing can sway public opinion so quickly when we just don't know. So let me know if you guys are going to be drinking Prime after this information has been told to you. Taylor?
My favorite comment in all of this, there's a comment on that last TikTok you just played of the guy that says, you stuttered a lot and didn't seem confident enough, so I'm going with Logan.
Oh, yes, there it is.
That doesn't just illustrate exactly what you're talking about.
And I will show you that comment in case you don't see it. Right, there it is. You stuttered a lot and didn't seem confident enough, so I'm going with Logan. Oh my gosh. This is how the court of public opinion works, guys. It really is truly how it works. The more confident you are, the better your editing is, the more you are to be believed in the claim that you are making, even if it's like a claim that will directly impact your health. Now, I did hear somewhere that somebody is claiming that from drinking Prime that a kid got leukemia. I don't know how forever chemicals impact all of that and whether or not they're going to bring their own lawsuit. This is alleged. So I have no idea what is going on. All I'm saying is I'm not going to listen to some like clever, confident yapping on TikTok, and that's not going to define whether or not I drink something that could possibly contaminate my body.
And I am proud of you guys, because I did a quick poll here in the chat, and we said, I just said Team Logan / Prime, Team Lawyer Guy, or Team No Idea. And 78% of you said Team No Idea. The rest of you, 18%, are in favor of Mr. Lawyer Guy and 3% in favor of Logan. So at least people are abstaining from judgment until further details emerge, which is our general rule of thumb on this channel.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens here, and maybe we'll keep you updated if it does end up being a crazy story that takes it further than this. But yeah, wow, it's amazing how one social media video can just like impact not only an entire company, but just like the landscape of consumerism and how people buy things and what they buy and what they think and how they think. And yeah, just an interesting case study in whatever that phenomenon is. And now we're going to get into your super chats. Let's hear from you guys.
Yeah, someone said they just voted against Logan Paul because they don't like him, which I'm sure was a lot of the sample.
Yeah, no, that's
about that.
I saw a lot of people on TikTok saying like, well, duh, Logan Paul and KSI made the drink. Of course, it has chemicals in it. Or like, just look at the drink. Somebody said, oh, they have an American flag version of Prime. Of course, it has chemicals in it and stuff. It's just like, wow. Our intellects are in trouble.
Yeah. Human nature. Yeah. It reminds me of like the, what was it, JFK or the Nixon debates, where like one of them was very like exuded confidence and the other one was sweaty, but the sweaty one maybe had better points, but the one that exuded confidence won over more voters. It's like, that's just human nature, man.
It is.
That we are swayable by people who reject the more confidence and will just follow along. Or if you just have a bias against someone, then even if what they're saying is true, you might disagree and vote against them or whatever. And that's to your own detriment and to the detriment of all of society.
100%. It's wild.
And I'm sorry, DRick24, you sent a $50 super chat a few minutes ago. We're supposed to read those immediately. So you get at the top of the super chat list right now. No message, just a really cool looking emoji. But thank you for watching and we appreciate it.
We'll take it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And then chronologically, our first super chat of the day was from aspiring writer 111, who just says, hi, Amala, love listening to you. Keep it up.
Oh, that is very sweet. Thank you so much. We appreciate every one of you who's listening right now. And I can't thank you enough for your support.
Thank you. Thank you. The canceled Coasty says, good afternoon from Miami, Amala and Taylor. My beautiful wife loves your show, and I'd love a B-Day shout out for her. Happy 31st birthday to Courtney May. Thanks, and keep up the great work on the show.
Hey, happy 31st birthday to Courtney May. That's a big one. And you seemingly have an amazing husband who's calling you a beautiful wife. That's lovely. I hope you have a ton of love in your life today and happiness and family and friends and that it's just a great day. Happy, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Courtney. And I don't know if that was backhanded. He was like, my wife loves your show. He didn't say I do. So we're not going to make a judgment there. But no, we appreciate both of you guys. Kristen Stewart says, I finally caught you live. I've been wanting to ask for a while. What is a good left-wing news source / commentator that will not make me want to bash my head in so I can see the other side?
I don't know. I sort of just listen to everything. Like, I'll read articles from CNN and Vox and things like that. I'll listen to the Young Turks. And I don't know if we call Destiny, like, left-leaning anymore. I don't know what he is. He's somewhere in the middle just hanging around there. I don't know that I have, like, a go-to left-leaning individual that I listen to. I just take in, like, news as it comes. And sometimes I'll sprinkle in other people's opinions. Do you have an answer for that?
No, and that's true the other way around too, right? Like, I don't have like a go-to right
definitely not
source. Yeah. It's more just what's going on in the world, and then you get the opinions of several different people who have various amounts of respect equity built up or trust equity built up with you, perhaps. And yeah, if you're doing a good job, it sucks because it's kind of like the Logan Paul thing we talked about. Like, the onus is kind of on you as the individual who's just trying to figure out the world now with so many different opinions being floated out there and different videos that frame things a certain way. Like, you can't trust the first thing that you see, no matter who's generating it. Mm-hmm. And so it behooves us to kind of have a healthy skepticism and investigate different sources. But I think the ones you mentioned, Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks has done a better job lately, I think, of being more like robust and good faith in her analysis and really entertaining the opposing side and not just spewing one side. So she's been good. And Destiny generally does a good job, even if you disagree with him, of at least articulating the more progressive side of things. But you're right that he's more, his own.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
So I'm sorry, we're not more helpful per se, but also like the general prevailing narrative is going to be left-leaning no matter what mainstream media outlet that you go to these days. So you're probably just seeping it in by osmosis, regardless. Ragman says, I wonder what kind of precedent or power banning TikTok might give the government over our lives or the media we consume.
100%. And I think it sets a horrible precedent that they can just identify something as a national security threat and arguably without really substantiating it other than saying the CCP could have your data. And then they're allowed to get rid of an app like this. Now, the argument is, we're not getting rid of it. We're just forcing them to sell to a U.S. company, which is a big ask of a major company that's bringing in probably billions with TikTok Shop and advertisers and all the different things that they have going on. It's a big, big, big ask. I think it does set a very unhealthy precedent.
Yeah, and that's why the one thing I didn't like about the bill, or the main thing I didn't like, was just that provision for the president to be able to say, this company is a national security threat, therefore we can make them divest as well, and, yep. and not just more narrow it in scope. Because I think the issue with the China, like we said, is legitimate, and I think it does need to be addressed, but what precedent are you setting in the midst of addressing that? And that is the more scary part.
Yeah, and it's not even handed too. Again, like if that's a national security threat, so is Meta, and so is, you know, every other social media platform that's stealing your data and selling you a certain narrative. And you know, when Vivek Ramaswamy was running for president, and he was asked about election rigging and stuff like that, and his opinion on it, and he said, you know, the best argument that I could make for any sort of like fraudulent act during the election is the fact that social media controls the prevailing narrative, and they had ideological capture from the U.S. government and government institutions and agencies that were telling them to promote a certain narrative. And if you can sway public opinion from what people see on social media and get them to vote in a certain way, that is way more dangerous as far as the impact that it has on like your psyche, your knowledge, your information, your agency, and your elections than like some possible threat of a foreign adversary. And that is not to be forgotten. They are actively exercising control over how people vote by giving you certain information and promoting certain information. But that's not a national security threat.
Or a threat to democracy.
Yeah. Yep.
Literally, yeah, institutions colluding with the government to bury certain stories that are unfavorable to one candidate. That's not a threat to democracy. Yep. And it is. But again, I think that each issue can live on its own and should be addressed on its own, but they are very much intertwined, so that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Looks Max, not Transmax, says, hey, A and Tay, Amala, were you looks maxing on your Insta story? What do you mainly focus on? Pretty soon, I'm going to need a permit for these guns I got.
I think you guys are talking about, I always post when I go to the gym. It's like my system of accountability on my IG story. I am looks maxing 100%. I am fully okay with admitting I go to the gym, one, for health, but a large portion of it is for aesthetics. And I want to achieve a certain aesthetic. And I go to the gym and work out my whole body. I sort of chill out on my arms because I can literally work out my arms for like 1 week and they've grown. I don't have to worry about that. It's like legs, building like muscle density in my legs and stuff that I struggle with. So I've been focusing on like legs, core, cardio. Those have been the three things that I have achieved, you know, my priority list, the top of the priority list when as far as going to the gym. And I always meet you guys at the gym. You guys are so cool. You always walk up to me and I probably look absolutely crazy at the gym, but you guys always walk up and say hello. And it is so nice to meet each and every one of you when I see you guys.
I love that. Looks Max again says, Amala, would you rather have Russia take over Ukraine or have Israel be erased by Iran or China taken over by Taiwan? Please try and imagine just how much worse things could get and will be if those things happen.
Sure. Yeah. There is argument for American intervention in the same way that there is an argument for American isolationism. I am just more of an isolationist. And I think if we have issues that can be addressed here on American soil that are not being addressed, and we're sending billions upon billions of dollars over to foreign countries, we have something to address. It's not to say that there should be no aid ever sent to any other country in any circumstance. Just to say, I feel like we have our priorities out of whack right now.
Yeah, my main issue with the aid stuff is more like on accountability. Like I think I sent you a video earlier today where it was a special from CBS News about how the bar scene in Kyiv, Ukraine is like flourishing, and there's more bars there now than there were pre-war. And there's all this like money going around in their economy. And it's like, aren't y'all like in the middle of a war right now? Like, I'm not saying y'all have to be like miserable, but like, it's just a little sketchy. So for me, it's more about like accountability and the money that we are sending. Like, you can make a geopolitical argument for the strategic of importance of something and not leading to other things, and I'll hear that on the merits.
Sure. But
it's just like, it seems like how many of these bills have passed now where it's like, hey guys, it's Tuesday, we're going to send another $30 billion to Ukraine, and then 3 weeks later, oh guys, another $172 billion. It's kind of like, man, who's monitoring this, and are we sure that it is being used in a necessary way that's not just being exploited by, you know, tycoons in Ukraine or weapons right. defense contractors or things like that.
And that's yeah. where
I don't know that there's a robust enough system of accountability for all of it.
100%. And even on like the merits of some of these actions, does the general public support it? And the answer is no. I mean, like, I think if you polled the American public, they would not be in support of this happening. So how is it that we're getting this deviation of our representatives from the people that they're meant to be representing?
And our next one from Kristen Stewart again is actually a good point that I've seen recently. Foreign aid is only about 1% of our government budget spending. So that's helpful perspective, but I think sure. the issue still stands with the accountability and such.
Yep, and whether or not it's necessary.
Yeah, but there's probably plenty of other waste, and like Kamala said, like plenty of other things that are relatively less expensive. Like, we could address a lot of what's going on at the border with a fraction of maybe what we spend on some of this foreign aid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why don't we just address the issues that are important to the American people? It doesn't necessarily mean we have to take away all foreign aid. It just means like, it's really frustrating to Americans to see that whenever we have these issues on our doorstep and, we're seeing so much money go abroad, and yet the issues still persist here.
Yeah, and then the issues still persist abroad. It's like, it's not actually alleviating the issue whatsoever. They're just like funneling money. And then when you look at like the Biden family and their possible business dealings with certain individuals in Ukraine, there's just a multitude of things. And Taylor brings up the border. We went down to the southern border here in California, of California and Tijuana, and to see the wall that was being built and to get to the cutoff point where it stopped, and to see the previous infrastructure of what was, you know, the little fencing that people would get through at the southern border, it will infuriate you to see what was being worked on with your tax dollars that was actually meant to benefit you, and to just stand there at the stopping point where it was cut off. It's astounding.
Yeah, and let alone just the invisible, effortless, like, you don't have to build a wall or anything, just shift the policy. Like, the policy was, and it's not even changing the policy or the letter of the law, it's the willingness to enforce the law as written. Mm-hmm. That law already existed, and then it's been reversed, and that has created the incentive for the millions of people to say, this is our chance in this 4-year span to get into this country with absolutely no resistance and total impunity and be flown wherever we want, etc. And I mean, the physical wall is a very vivid picture, but like, you didn't even have to involve materials or anything like that. You just change your mind on a policy and how you're going to enforce it. And then that leads to so much more chaos.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. There's fat elsewhere that needs to be trimmed from these budgets. Yeah. The way we covered on this show that they did a hip hop task force. And that's what your representatives were spending their time on. They were getting paid money to be part of a hip hop task force. So yeah, there's plenty outside of foreign aid that's problematic.
And that's another place where both parties are at fault. Like, the Republican Party that had its chance to reduce deficit spending in their last administration, and that didn't happen, and mm-hmm. they're not promising to, and no one's really caring about the out of control spending, and yet we're just approving and printing more and more money and then acting surprised when we have inflation and continue to fund all this stuff. Just sorry guys, we're just getting off into politics here, but my sorry. Goodness man,
yeah, it's a lot.
What a time to be alive. $50 super chat from Kiko Cat just came in, says the funding bill needs to be called what it is, a kickback to corporations. Israel, keep the shipping containers safe for sales of products to the U.S. Ukraine, keep fighting Russia so we don't have to. Taiwan, protect all our AI chips for the military.
Interesting. Okay. There's a lot to unpack in there. Yeah, no, this is stuff that we would need to look into a bit further, but I understand exactly what your opinion is on the matter. There is something to be said about calling things what they are and the amount of just like packaging and wording that they put on these different bills instead of just being upfront and transparent about what it is that they're trying to achieve. And that's the thing that extra pisses me off about this, because if they won't be transparent about what they're actually doing, because they don't want us to know what they're actually doing. So they just like give you hundreds of pages worth of a bill and, you know, and money that is going to be moving here and there and all over the place. And then they package it with like, oh, national security. So you feel like, oh, something's being achieved for your sake. Meanwhile, they're slipping in like TikTok bans and $1 billion here and $1 billion there. And also we're going to give 20 something billion to Israel, but also $1 billion to the people who are being impacted by Israel. And all, it's just like, I'm exhausted. I would never want to be in government also, but I also don't like talking about what they're doing.
it's frustrating. The Inflation Reduction Act that increases inflation.
Yeah. It's amazing.
The game of naming things the opposite of what they're actually doing. Yeah. Looks Max again says, is that what Biden's student loan forgiveness money is going toward? Some idiotic waste of time and money to do lifelike knitting? What in the world? For those interpretive dancers.
Yeah, I guess so. If they get their student loans forgiven, that's a lot of time spent doing goodness knows what on that university campus. This is why, oh my gosh. I get that like a lot of people maybe without knowledge sign for these student loans and things like that. But I'm like, you did it. That was your responsibility. And of course, there's people who like fall through the cracks whose like parents encourage them to sign these loans that they don't understand. And they're young and they just want to go to school and they're sold the narrative that they have to go to school. And they sign these things and some of whom are coerced into doing so. But a lot of you just thought it was a great opportunity. You signed something that you didn't understand. You took the money and now here we are. So I don't know how I feel about especially those students having their student loans forgiven.
Yeah, which amounts to other people having to pay the student loan that you took out. And that, so they're right. Not being forgiven. They're right. Just falling on people who did not take out the loan. So,
yep.
Gosh, yeah, so much there. Celtic Blacksmith says, if brains were leather, those protesters wouldn't have enough to saddle a ladybug. Bless their hearts.
Yeah, some of them. A lot of them wouldn't. It sucks for the people who are educated that there's this stuff happening around them. But yeah, it's just a mess. They're sort of built to descend into chaos if you think about it long enough.
Onion says, my brother uses it for his gaming edits. We're referring to TikTok. And I like seeing him enjoy whatever platform he sees fit. Shout out to him, the Witch Doctor Dyad, if you can. Keep up the good work.
Interesting. Guys. Yeah. I enjoy TikTok. I get a lot of information from TikTok. I get a lot of different perspectives from TikTok. And this is not to like take them at their word and say that everything is valid, but I learn things. I get to look through things. Get to hear a lot of different arguments. There's a lot of independent journalism that takes place on TikTok that is, you know, very powerful on both sides of the aisle. So a lot of people who I think may be older, probably don't even know how TikTok works, have never been on the platform. They're getting TikTok content on these sort of other social media platforms like Facebook and X and Instagram. And it paints a picture of what the TikTok platform is like, because of course it's going to be the most salacious, crazy things that you can find on the platform that are making their way to other platforms. But that by no means is indicative of the actual like diversity of thought, opinion, journalism that is happening on the platform. If you're not on TikTok and have never tried it, you're experiencing the most crazy TikTok videos that make it out of the confines of the platform. And a lot of people talk about, you know, TikTok brain rot and things like that. And there is something to be said for the negativity that is perpetuated on the platform. But there's a lot of really positive, great resources on that platform. There's a lot of businesses on that platform. Like I said, millions of people are employed on TikTok, run their businesses on TikTok. It's created a huge market for small business here in the United States, which that I don't think that point is talked about enough. There's positive things along with the negative on the platform.
IQ says, if everyone's thinking the same, no one's thinking. That is the culture today. The culture, I'm afraid, you liberals have created.
Yeah, it's everybody has their echo chambers. It's shared in a lot of ways. We can argue that sort of the wokest, leftist individuals have pushed it way, way more. The echo chamber thinking and the toe the line of our ideology or else thinking. But yeah, there's a lot of that. And if everybody's just saying the same thing, what's the point of saying things, you know, outside of objective truths and, you know, things that we've recognized to be factual?
Nicodemus 1984 says, thank you both. Your voices are increasingly necessary in society nowadays. Personally, you're the only ones on YouTube I agree with 100% so far.
Whoa, 100% so far. We got to find something.
Yeah, I don't think we're worthy of 100%.
Are we worthy of 100%? We're gonna have to find out. We'll find the thing. But I appreciate that. I'm glad that what we say on this show resonates with you.
One more from LooksMax, not TransMax, says, that's why I changed my name to LooksMaxing. Scott Galloway is 1,000% correct. Things are quite bad, which is why you must LooksMax, men. It's the only way.
I think you'll find success in LooksMaxing. It's just the way our society works. The thing I really like about it is, yeah, I achieve an aesthetic that is pleasing for me, but it's also a challenge. And I like to do little challenging things and see what I can change about myself.
I say life naturally. Max, not looks max.
Exactly.
Looks maxing is folded into life maxing.
Exactly.
If you're only good looking and you don't have great character, you're not productive, you're mm-hmm. not on a good trajectory in life, like then you're not going to be less attractive to the right person.
Exactly.
But more importantly, you won't be a great person. So focus on being a great person in all dimensions. Yeah. And you'll give yourself the best chance of success.
Life Max.
In my humble opinion.
Not looks Max.
Quazakule says, yeah, I think constantly seeing horrible events online and often misread through a certain lens fuels hate. I was almost like that with 2020 George Floyd.
Oh, yeah, it does. And the media knows that they don't care that that is the result of things. Life is, and the world is so much better than what you will see portrayed to you on the media, because their job is not to give you even though it really is their job to give you the full scope of what's happening within context, that's not the reality of what they're doing in practice. So if you are just constantly consuming media and never unplugging, never going outside, never experiencing real community and having, you know, like small moments with real people in your real life vicinity, the world is going to look way worse than it actually is. And there's a huge power to just like going outside, going to the gym, going to your local coffee shop and having a small conversation with the cashier behind the register. These small micro exchanges that we have throughout the duration of our life really do impact our view of the world and how healthy we believe the world to be. And the fact that people are not getting those micro exchanges with other people should be really concerning, because if you're just sitting at home taking in media, it's painting a certain picture of the world and humanity of the people around you, but you're not having real life interactions with those people around you. It leads to radicalization. And that's what we're seeing on the university campuses. That's what we're seeing in all the different protests and movements that are happening right now. It's what we're seeing online and people speaking to one another. Just complete dehumanization and detachment from humanity.
So go touch grass.
So go touch grass and like talk to somebody. Walk down the street and tell somebody they have like cool shoes, or like say the weather's great today. It's crazy that we've devalued these exchanges, but they really do mean a lot.
Yeah. And I'll just say one of the things that I feel like has kept me more grounded and less polarized is my friendship with a lot of people that I played beach volleyball with for a few years out there in Los Angeles. And they are from every, you know, spot on the political spectrum, from every country around the world, like just a very diverse group of people who all happen to share one hobby. But I'm genuine friends with them, went to birthday parties, went to their weddings, like hung out a lot. And we just tabled politics, and that was never really like the focus of our conversations, and just related as human beings, and got to share great times at the beach together and great times in life as just people going through life in Los Angeles together. And that was a really cool experience. And I think that, you know, people can benefit from whatever you're into. Go do that with other people who may not have the same persuasive political persuasions as you or whatever it may be. And I feel like if you can create that neutral territory, you will be better off in general.
Yeah, it's like there's something really powerful about meeting people that you may fundamentally disagree with and just realizing that they're humans that are going through the same experience as you and are living in their own worlds and feel happiness and sadness and things like that. And you have to do that, especially on issues that give you super visceral reactions that make you super upset. If you are really upset about the state of the Middle East right now on whatever side of the aisle, go meet somebody who's pro-Palestinian, talk to them about something that has nothing to do with the current conflict that's happening right now. Meet somebody who is Jewish or a Zionist and have a conversation with them about family and friendship and like clothing or sports or something like that. And just realize that even though we have very powerful statements to make about any given issue, we are all people who are presumably trying to do what we think is best for humanity.
Nick Boateng says, Brits, oi, bruv, you've been poisoning me with this consumerism. U.S., get real, bro. And Aaron Bushnell has security clearance. Could have worked at CIA, FBI, Pentagon.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on there. It was a reference to Prime, I imagine, with the UK and
was
the
it?
Poisoning. Oh. Was it? I think.
Yes.
Okay.
And then a separate comment
is
about
the Aaron Bushnell.
The man who set himself on fire.
Yeah, I don't know. I never know what to think about these things that happen and what they mean and what's actually going on and all this stuff. I'm always, like I said, always skeptical. I have no idea what's going on in the case of Aaron Bushnell. But
yeah,
R.I.P.
That was wild.
Yep.
Joy says, never tried Prime. I'm not an energy drink girl, but to each their own as I seize Celtic's throne. Well done.
Love that. Very, very well done. Yeah, I imagine there's got to be a lot of people who drink Prime. We're going to find out. It'll be interesting to see if there are a ton of these forever chemicals. It wouldn't be the first time that, you know, products have poisoned their consumers, especially in the United States. We have a ton of that stuff going on. Please. You guys had like sour Skittles in the past year or anything like that? Are you kidding?
I know. How many times have you gotten an email that's like, you're part of this lawsuit if you were a customer of this? It's like,
dude,
how many people that have eaten Skittles or drank Prime are going to be entitled to something?
Yeah. The amount of Red 40 that's coursing through my veins as we speak right now.
Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's see. Kaylee says, even though I am quote unquote liberal, your perspective on things really shows I don't have to be in a box for all left beliefs. And I think can think for myself and have my own beliefs and mindset. So thank you. Heart emoji.
I love it. I love it. You're welcome. I you're always welcome here to talk about what you think and feel from any perspective that you guys come from. So I'm so happy to hear that you've been able to find that space on this show. That's super awesome.
Celtic Blacksmith says, I'm so proud of Joy, but I'm also feeling territorial. So deep breath, to each their own. Joy needs to decrease her tone. Double emoji.
Love that.
This is some deep cut stuff.
If
you're a regular on the show, you know about Celtic's variations of homilies. To each their own, Charlize Theron.
Yes. If you're not, let's let you in on the inside joke here. I always say to each their own, Charlize Theron on this show. So people give their different iterations of that. So you guys can feel free to drop yours in the chat down below.
Joy responds and says, oh, Celtic, to each their own, maybe leave it alone. Leftover characters. So just know that I love that top homilies.
Thank you. Fashion Nova. It's always Fashion Nova. Whenever you guys like my shirt, it's Fashion Nova.
You need to get that sponsorship if you're going to
credit
them.
For real. We don't do sponsors on this show or ad reads and stuff, but Fashion Nova, if you're listening, I'll take it.
Send her a check.
Yeah.
Looks Max, not Trans Max, says, I agree, Taylor. I'm all for monitoring the money that we're sending, and how much we're sending is a good question, but think about if we send zero or not enough.
Yeah, fair point. All fair things to ask ourselves. Right now, it feels like too much. All good questions to be asking.
Yeah. Let's see. Celtic again says, Rocky voice. Cut me, Mick. I can't see. Joy has zero chill today. Can somebody toss me a folding chair or bat or something?
Oh, I need help. We're going to get a Montgomery brawl.
WWE. Logan Paul's about to pop out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He'll give her a prime drink and then she'll die from toxic chemical poisoning. Allegedly, just kidding.
Allegedly, don't sue us. Yes, please. We are a small business.
Yeah, that doesn't do ads. Elise Yahoo says, hello, Amala. Love your content. Love watching your videos while I work. I sometimes go 2 or 3 days without watching, so I binge on my third shift job so my nights will go by fast.
Hey, love that. I hear from so many of you that like I listen to you while I'm doing my work and it makes my work go better, and I love that for you. Love that for you. I'm so glad I could be that positive force in your workforce.
Hey. Yeah, and let us know what y'all are up to. We love hearing what you're up to when you're watching. Drop that in the chat or in the comments down below. let's see. Kevin C, last few here. Hi, longtime listener, first time super chat. I monthly mostly listen during work, FedEx ground driver in Florida. See, we love to know.
Hey,
that's awesome.
We do.
I love the show. You keep me informed and entertained. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Wow, you guys are so nice in the super chats. You always give me a big ass head every time I end this show. I appreciate it. I'm glad that we can make the news entertaining. I'm always trying to think like, okay, how do we share this but also make it interesting to hear about and hopefully make it a fun experience, because so much of the news is so like dreary and depressing, and we want it to be at the very least an entertaining and positive experience to hear about it. So we try.
Yes, indeed we do. And speaking of life maxing, I hear the FedEx drivers are doing pretty. I know it's UPS, but FedEx hopefully too are doing great right now.
Are you guys getting an uptick in your salary like the UPS drivers?
Life maxing indeed. Guilherme G. Sico says, hi, Amala from Brazil again. I think that we do need a way to regulate social media algorithms, but banning them is not the solution. I'd like to hear your opinion on Elon Musk and what's happening here in Brazil. But one thing I have to say is the right-wing bubble in the United States is very related to what is happening here in Brazil. Many of the guys you are applauding actually committed crimes and attempted a military coup.
I don't know who we're applauding.
I think they're talking about Bolsonaro, from what I gather, because it was basically like Lula is the president now. He's kind of socialist. Mm-hmm. And there's that crazy judge who is banning X from Brazil because they're not complying with their demands to censor. It's about as much as I know about the issue, but I know there was some sketchy things going on with Bolsonaro in the election and suggestions that it was rigged against him. I don't know about the attempted coup situation.
I can say pretty confidently that I don't know that we've ever made statements about supporting anybody within Brazilian politics or anybody who's attempting a coup within Brazil either.
Yeah, I think the right-wing bubble is doing that.
Oh, the right-wing bubble. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, this is something that I'll have to look into and get more educated on. Occasionally when I do events and I go around, there will be Brazilian students who are at these events who say, you need to look more into Brazilian politics, because a lot of the things that you touch on are things that we are experiencing in our country in different forms. There's a lot of craziness happening right now. I did hear about that X story, which doesn't sound right. Does not sound like an okay thing to be doing, but I would have to look into it a lot more, just on first principles alone, or at least my first principles. Doesn't seem like it's a good move to be getting rid of a social media platform like that, because it doesn't promote a narrative that you enjoy or get behind.
Yeah, I mean, to Elon's credit, he's standing by his word and taking the heat. They're going to basically have to close their entire Brazil, like, profitability with advertisers and everything. They're no longer allowed to operate there. And I know similar things happening now in Australia. There's a certain video that the Australian government wanted censored on X, and it wasn't. And then they're trying to ban the entire app there. So
crazy.
Just free speech is bringing out the totalitarianism from everybody who wants to control it. And that's not to say X doesn't have its issues with some craziness that's on there, but
hey,
you know, that's the price that you pay to either have free expression or not.
Exactly.
And I think on that very inspiring, happy note, that was our last super chat of the day.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for watching the show. You're going to have to let me know how you feel about all these different stories that we covered today. TikTok possibly being banned in 9 months if it is not sold to a U.S. company to be operated here out of the U.S. with all these national security concerns that we supposedly have about the platform. We also talked about the different protests that are taking place on Columbia, NYU, and Yale's university campuses. Let us know how you feel about those. Plus, Prime Energy. Are you going to be drinking it? Are you gonna not be drinking it? Did you know about this lawsuit? Have you been drinking it? Drop your thoughts in the comments down below. Now, if you like the stream, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, although we will not be live this Friday. Let me go ahead and announce that now. We will not be live this Friday, but we will have a video for you guys, so do not fret. I will still be here to hang out with you, but typically that is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos for you guys every single day. Tomorrow's video, what is tomorrow's video about?
TikToks.
Oh, yes, TikToks. We're going to be responding to some woke TikToks. I guess we'll get in as many of these woke TikTok videos we can in the next 9 months before the whole platform is gone. And we don't have any crazy ideas to talk about. So that'll be tomorrow's video on this platform. Can't wait for you guys to see them. There's some very interesting ones in there. And on that note, I'm going to bid you adieu. Hopefully you guys are all having a fantastic day. Shout out to the birthday girl, Mrs. May, on her 31st. And see you guys later.